All the King's Horses, 7.
This is ridiculous!
Bruder was in a fury. He had a pair of leather driving gloves in one hand, and he slapped them against his legs compulsively as he spoke.
Do you realize what you're doing? You're throwing away a fortune, millions of dollars. Moreover, you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit. Tudbury and I were partners. This land ought to belong to me.
That's not what the will says, Joey DeAngelis said. He was sitting on the rust-eaten hood of a 1957 Edsel Citation, a can of Schaefer in his hand, as Bruder paced back and forth in front of him.
I'll contest the goddamn will, Bruder threatened. Damn it, we took out loans together.
The loans will be paid, Joey said. Tuds was insured for $100,000. There's a lot left, even after the funeral expenses. You'll be covered, Bruder, but you ain't getting the junkyard. That's mine. Bruder pointed at him, gloves dangling from his hand.
If you think I won't take you to court, you better think again. I'm going to take everything you own, you asshole, including this shit-eating junkyard.
Fuck you, Joey DeAngelis said. So sue me. I don't give a shit. I can afford lawyers too, Bruder. Tuds left me all the rest of his stuff. The house, the comic collection, his share of the business. I'll sell it all if I have to, but I am keeping this junkyard. Bruder scowled. DeAngelis, he said, trying to sound a little more conciliatory. Listen to reason. Tudbury wanted to sell this place. What good is an abandoned junkyard? Think of all the people who need housing. This development will be an enormous boon to the whole city. DeAngelis took a swig of beer. You think I'm a moron or what? You're not building no shelter for the homeless. Tom showed me the plans. We're talking $250,000 townhouses, right? He looked around at the acres of trash and rusted cars. Well, fuck that shit. I grew up in this junkyard, Stevie boy. I like it, just the way it is.
Then you're an idiot, Bruder snapped.
And you're on my property, Joey said. You better get the fuck off, or I might get the urge to jam a tailpipe up that tight ass of yours. He crushed a beer can in his hand, tossed it aside, and slid off the hood of the Edsel. The two men stood toe to toe.
You can't intimidate me, DeAngelis, Bruder said. We're not kids in a schoolyard anymore. I'm bigger than you, and I work out 3 times a week. I've studied martial arts.
Yeah, Joey said, but I fight dirty. He grinned. Bruder hesitated, then turned angrily on his heels and stalked back to his car.
You haven't heard the last of this, he shouted, backing out.
Joey smiled as he watched him drive off. After Bruder had gone, he went to his own car and pulled another Schaefer off the six-pack on the passenger seat. He drank the first swallow by the shore as the tide came in off the bay. It was a wet, windy, overcast day, and in an hour or so, it was going to turn into a wet, windy, overcast night. Joey sat on a rock and watched the fading light paint rainbows in the oil slicks on the water, thinking of Tuds. The wake and the funeral had both been closed casket, but Joey had gone into the back room after everyone else had left and told a junior mortician that he wanted to see the body. The wild card hadn't left much that looked like Tom. The corpse had skin like an armadillo, scaly and hard, and a faint greenish glow like it was radioactive or some fucking thing. Its eyes were huge sacks of glistening pink gelatin, but it was wearing Tom's aviator frames, and he'd recognized the high school ring on the pinky of one webbed hand. Not that there was any room for doubt. The body had been found in a Jokertown alley, wearing Tom's clothes and carrying all of Tom's ID, and Dr. Tachyon himself had done the autopsy and signed the death certificate after comparing dental records. Joey DeAngelis sighed, crushed another beer can in his hand, and tossed it to the side. He remembered when he and Tom had built the first shell together. Back then, they made beer cans out of steel, and you had to be strong to crush the motherfuckers. Now, any old wimp could do it. He grabbed the rest of his six-pack by an empty ring in the plastic holder and walked on back to the bunker. The big door was open, and down inside the hole, Joey saw the flare of an acetylene torch. He sat down with his legs over the edge and dangled the six-pack out in front of him. "Hey, Tuds," he shouted down. "You ready for a break?" The blowtorch went out. Tom walked out from behind the framework of the huge new half-built shell. What a fucking monster, Joey thought again as he looked down at its skeleton. It was going to be almost twice as big as any previous shell, airtight, watertight, self-contained, computerized, armored to hell and gone. $150,000 worth of shell. All the suitcase loot, and most of the insurance settlement, too. Tuds was even making noises about cannibalizing that fucking head he'd brought back to see if he could figure out some way to fix the radar set and hook it into his hardware. Tom pulled off his goggles. They left big, pale circles around his eyes. "Asshole!" he shouted up. "How many times I gotta tell you, Tudbury is dead. There's no one home but us turtles." "Fuck it then," Joey said. "Turtles don't drink beer." "This one does. Give it here. That goddamn torch is hot." Joey dropped what was left of the six-pack. Tom caught it, tore off a can, and opened it. Beer sprayed all over his face and hair. Joey laughed.